May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel, Boy Yosef Lennon Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seat for Sabbath service.
May I have your attention, please? Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I'd now like to present one of the sons of Israel Abel, Nabiah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about the Great Gathering in the West. If you can turn over in your books of Yahweh to Zechariah 5, it's on page 719. Zechariah 5 and verse 10 and 11. And it says, "Then I said to the Malach who was speaking with me, 'Where are they, the two witnesses going with the ephod?' And he said to me, 'To build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection set by Yahweh's laws in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called out to their work as the established place, the habitation of the house of Yahweh.'" So we can see here that the house of Yahweh would be established in a Babylonian land which did not yet exist. And whenever this prophecy in Zechariah was written, the United States did not yet exist. So, I have an article here from the Travel Magazine of Texas. And it says, "When the Texas and Pacific Railways arrived on the West Texas Prairie in 1881, railroad officials and businessmen plated a town site and proclaimed Abilene the future great city of West Texas." So the future great city in West Texas, I looked up in gematria, and in English gematria it equals to 2943. So 2943 in Strong's Greek means in a circle roundabout. And if you remember, Galilee means a circuit, or a ring, or a circle. So it means in a circle. And if you remember about Texas State Highway Loop 322, it's a circle that goes around Abilene. So the future great city of West Texas in English gematria equals to 2136. And 2136, it's the same as 2137, and it means to have a successful journey, to cause to prosper, and it comes from 3598, and 3598 means a way, a journey, a highway, like a highway like Texas State Highway Loop 322. So if you can turn over in your books of Yahweh to Isaiah 11, Isaiah 11 is on page 557. Isaiah 11 and verse 16. And it says, there will be a highway for the remnant of his people, which will be left from Assyria, as it was from Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. In the House Yahweh Established booklet, on page 78, it says, the House of Yahweh was established in these last days due west from Abilene, Israel, to prepare the way for the second coming of Yahshua Messiah. From Abilene, the place of gathering for the seed of the two witnesses from which the year of Jubilee is preached and published. And then it says, Abilene means a place of gathering. Abilene means a place of gathering and much, much more. If you can turn over to 2 Thessalonians, it's on page 931. Second Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, and it says, now we plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of our King, Yahshua Messiah, and our gathering together to him. When this scripture says our gathering together to him, the great gathering is not done in one day. This gathering is done over a period of years by the house of Yahweh, by preaching and publishing, and by training those whom Yahweh is calling at this time. Those whom Yahweh is calling out now are given the opportunity to serve with him and Yahshua in his government, the kingdom of Yahweh. And for my last scripture, if you can turn over to Revelation 7, in verse 9, it's on page 975. Revelation 7, verse 9, and it says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palm branches, and taught to keep Yahweh's feast in their hands. So we need to study all that the house of Yahweh puts out, and we need to get ready to teach the huge number of people who are going to be coming to Yahweh's house. And with that, if y'all please stand, I'll turn it over to Son of Ishleba Obadiah.
Vashlom. Shalom. I'm sorry. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So today I'll be talking about Abilene as being the gathering place. So the first permanent sanctuary, Asiyai sanctuary, was dedicated in the year 1981. And 1981 is strong. You can see, it means go, brought, come, go, walk. Walk. Those are found in Isaiah 2:2, when they say, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh. And also, it comes from 1980, which means become greater, brighter, bring, brought, come, let us go, flow, and grew steadily. So, the word bring, the House of Yahweh Established booklet. It's on page 73. You see, the meaning of Abel means bring. So that shows Abel means being the gathering place. Bring. And also a few pages forward on page 78. talks about the meaning of Abilene. He says the true meaning of the word Abilene is the right time must come, bring, O Yahweh, we pray, bring. Continues on saying, yes, we beseech Yahweh to lead us out of captivity in Babylon. We pray to Yahweh that he pours out his water causes now, for the mature time has come. So this mature time is the right time for gathering has come. Okay, so we see that the nations or the saints in those nations are asking Yahweh to lead them out of captivity. And what occurs when your request gets granted? You rejoice. So in the book of Psalms, page 454, and that's Psalms chapter 53, it's verse 6. It says, O that from Zion will come, O Israel, salvation, when you return to your captive people. Then Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. So they'll be glad and they'll rejoice once Yahweh gathers them. And this gathering is spoken of by many prophets in the book of Yahweh, but I will only mention Jeremiah on page 5. It's on page 591. That's Jeremiah 23. And look over to verse 3 and 4. It says, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their fold homes, and they will be fruitful and increase. And I will raise up shepherds over them, who will feed them, nor will they fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither will they be lacking. So that is one of the prophets who has spoken about this gathering. And, you know, pastor said that we can rely on these prophecies because they'll never fail. So, this gathering has to be done by the loyal and faithful workers. And for us to be loyal and faithful, we need to make the first step, which is to seek Yahweh's kingdom by first going to the place he established. So going back to this gathering, so as the last speaker just said, the first speaker just said, this gathering takes place over a period of years. It's not a one-day thing, because as we know, the house of Yahweh didn't reach everyone at once. We started with this small area right here, and we rippled outwards the whole world. And quoting from the Mark of the Beast on page, it's almost the last page. It's on page 434. It says, Yeshua will send his Malachim to gather his call at once to the sea of glass at the end of the great tribulation. However, the physical gathering of people is done over a period of years by the house of Yahweh. The gathering is done by preaching, publishing, and training those whom Yahweh is calling out at this time to serve in the kingdom of Yahweh under Yeshua's authority. So that also says that the gathering takes place over a period of time. So, we as the workers, it's our work to spread this message. So, as Isaiah 49 verse 6 says, we are the light to the Gentiles. And also Daniel 12:3 says that there is a reward for those who turn many to righteousness. And also, pastor acknowledges the work done by each and every one of us. And it's not only him, but also Yeshua, because he's been sending us signs in the clouds, encouraging us to continue this great work. And also Yahweh has acknowledges us, and also has a reward for us, for those who hold on to his righteousness. Read Isaiah 56 says, This is what Yahweh says, keep the judgments and do justly, for my salvation is near, soon to come. That's Isaiah 56, verse 1, page 565. This is why Yahweh says, keep the judgments and do justly, for my salvation is near to come. and my righteousness to be revealed. And look over to verse 4. It says, for this is why Yahweh says to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths and choose those things which please me and hold fast to my covenant. And I will give them in my house, even within my walls, a place, ministering position with power and a name equal to that of the sons and of the daughters. And I will give them the name of the everlasting Yahweh, which will not be cut off. So we see there's a reward for those who are gathering. No, we need to thank Yahweh for allowing us to be people, one of the gatherers who are bringing people to his house. And also we need to pray for the people who are still stranded in the nations. And that's all I had. God, please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Israel label, Yeshaya Hawkins, for prayer.
And now, if you'll remain standing, I'd like to turn it over to the first speaker, Son of Israel Abel, Deacon White Buffalo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'd first like to start by reviewing what we went over the last time and how it ties into what we're going to be going over this time. Remember about the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth, okay? And remember how the gathering is going to be taking place from the house of Yahweh publications, the preaching and publishing of the message. If you can please turn over to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 20 and verse 18. And it says, then she spoke, saying, they used to speak long ago, saying, to receive an answer, ask at Abel, and that would settle a matter. So remember about what Pastor said, that all the correct answers come from the house of Yahweh Abel. So we're going to be starting out here in the Gematria calculator. Remember the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay? And it means, or it equals to 3192 in the English Gematria. All right, and Greek, 3192. Is this word, which means honey, okay? It means honey, which comes from this word, which means pleasantness. But let's look at the word honey. Please turn over to Isaiah 7 and verse 15. Isaiah 7, verse 15. And it says, butter and honey he will eat, so he may know to refuse evil and choose righteousness. So this honey and the butter helps us to refuse evil and choose righteousness. Also, please turn over to Exodus 3, 17. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 17. On page 47. It says, and I have promised to bring you up out of your affliction in Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivitites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Also, Exodus 3, verses 4 and 5 4 and 5, and then verse 8. It says, when Yahweh saw he came to look, Yahweh called to him from within the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he answered, here I am. Then he said, do not come any closer to this place. Take your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Okay, and that bush that it's speaking of is the house of Yahweh, okay, the Abel, where we get our answers from. Verse 8, it says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a rich and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And remember that milk and honey means laws and prophecies. All right, and it says in verse 17, I have promised to bring you up, okay? Promised to gather. Please turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Scripture that's been being mentioned a lot. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 3 and 7 to 8. It says, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back, okay? Bring them up to their folds, homes, and they will be fruitful. They will increase. And that goes to the next meaning, which means pleasantness. Okay? That's from this word. 3192, which means pleasantness. Verses 7 and 8 says, therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and from all countries where I have driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. Also, please go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verses 16 to 17. It says, they will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither will the sun strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will feed them and lead them to the living fountains of waters, and Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay, this living fountain of water. That's the water of life. All right, so the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth at Abel, teaches the laws and the prophecies. The laws are the truth. Please turn over to Psalms 119, verse 151. It says, you are near, O Yahweh, and all your laws are truth. Okay, so the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, it's where we get our answers from, and our answers are from the 613 laws of Yahweh. Going back to this number here, it means pleasantness. Okay, and that pleasantness, turn over to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32 and verses 16 to 18. It says, that is when judgment will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. That, and look at side note G2 by the word judgment, says that is when the house of Yahweh shall be restored. Okay? And that's going to be gone over later this the next day of the feast. Okay? The house of Yahweh being restored and established, also went over this morning. Please remember those things. Also in Isaiah, let's continue reading. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. Okay, that pleasantness. Verse 18, it says, my people will dwell in a peaceful habitation and ensure secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Please turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verses 6 to 9. It says, the wolf will also dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, the young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the asp, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be as full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters that cover the earth. That's pleasantness. The word gathering, remember, bring you up, gathered, okay? That word gathering in, from the American Heritage Dictionary means an assembly of persons or a meeting at the house of Yahweh. So this word comes from 3190, and that means to be great, well, glad, or pleasing. It means adorned, do well, makes acceptable, joyful, and pleasing. Let's look at 2 Timaiah 2 and verse 21. It says, therefore, if a man purges himself of sin, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and fit for the Father's use, and prepared for every righteous work. That word adorned, for your notes, Zechariah 3 and verses 1 to 10. Also in the Why the Holy Garments book, okay, it talks about that word adorned. Talks about that word adorned, and it says in Exodus 28 verses 40 and 41, reading from this book, okay, for glory and for beauty, and you shall put them upon Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, okay, anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them. Okay, so the beauty and the glory. Adorned. All right, adorned. That number also means to do well and make acceptable, okay? Acceptable for Yahweh's use. The American Heritage Dictionary for the word adorned means to decorate with ornaments, okay? Remember that word Yana means ornament of Yahweh. To enhance the beauty of, okay? Remember, for glory and for beauty. It means to do well, right, ethically, absolute, okay? Morals, righteous character. It means successful, right, be accepted by Yahweh. The next number, 532. This means, it's this number which goes to this number, 526. And that means master workman, which goes to 539, which means believe, to confirm, support, enduring, established, okay, the house of Yahweh, established, faithful, firm. It means guardians. It means have assurance. Put your trust, trusted, and trustworthy. All right, so believe, okay, believe in Yahweh. That's positive law number one. And enduring, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Matthew 24, and verse 13. The word establish, Isaiah 2, verse 2, and Micaiah 4, verse 1. Faithful, Hebrews 11, 1, and Hebrews 11, 2, okay? It's a confirmed and established sure kingdom. Please turn to Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation 22 and verse 5. For my last scripture, it says, there will be no night there, and they will need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For Father Yahweh gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Okay, it's a confirmed, established, sure kingdom of Father Yahweh. This gathering is taking place, and we can see it right in front of our eyes. So be ready. With that, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, my title is Persecution Helps the Gathering. Persecution helps the gathering. Now, you may be thinking, how does being persecuted help in this great gathering? Now, persecution, if you turn to Yochanan 15, Yochanan 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would have loved its own. But because you are not part of the world, for I have chosen you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his ruler. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you because of my name, for they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had their sins revealed, but now they have no cloak covering for their sins. He who hates me also hates my Father. So you could see in that scripture that the world hated Yahshua because he exposed their sins, and that's why they persecuted him. For the same reason, they hate us this day, because we expose their sins. Now the persecution is going to come when you expose the world's sin or the people's sin. Now I have a quote here from the Ninth Book of Israel. Ninth Book of Israel, Part 1, Chapter 5, Verse 32 through 35. And it says, now remember the object of worship that it's speaking of here. This brings adoration into your mind concerning Yahweh himself. They are opposed to this. They're opposing this. They oppose anyone who brings it out too, who brings any form of holiness out today. And you could see they oppose anyone who brings holiness, any form of holiness. You could see it with the Branch Davidians, with the Jews, with the apostles and prophets. You know, all these people, they opposed it because it's holiness. They oppose it. They want to get rid of that group. And they're getting rid of them here in Texas, one by one. And then in other places throughout the world. And they're saying, or they're accusing them in each case of child molesting, polygamy, and so forth. They have certain things that they accuse them of, that they come in and they accuse them and ruin their name, of course. You know, blacken their name throughout the world. It doesn't always hold on, though, because Yahweh has a way of inspiring those he's calling. And this is the part that I'm getting into with persecution helps the gathering. Okay, and through this whole mess of trying to persecute the house, brethren, we're getting letters of praise, galore. Praise Yahweh. And people are wanting to move here. I won't tell you who, but some are coming this Tuesday, moving here permanently. Yes, so in them fighting the work of Yahweh, they're actually spreading the work of Yahweh, spreading the message of Yahweh. And not all will be fooled by the charges, because that's what this sermon is about and has been for several months now. The persecution against Yahweh's house is not coming because we did something wrong. It's coming because we're doing everything right and we're hated for it. Praise Yahweh. The same reason it came against Yahshua, if he had not come and told them what he told them, their sins would have remained hidden. But now they have no cloak for their sins. Their sins are what's causing the problem to begin with. It's causing the wars, it's causing the hatred, it's causing the confusion of the mind. All right, so we've been persecuted for a long time now, and let me just show you. This is from 19... So you can see there, February 17th, 1985... All right, but zoom up. But it says here, this is the actual picture that's on the gold, placemat. It says the house of Yahweh keeps the Sabbath. All right, and here you see the great Kohen Yehuda. All right. It says here, keep a covered man, listen as David Varner instructs them from the Bible. Alright? And also here, you see the great Kohen Benaya. It says here, Walter Yandershevitz sounds a ram's horn to mark the day end and the beginning of a new one. Alright, so you can see here that we're even in the paper. Alright? And also, Abilene is world headquarters for misunderstood religious group. And this is from 1990. But also, here's our great pastor, all right, also in the paper. And it says, Elder Yishel Hawkins, a pastor and overseer of the House of Yahweh, 1025 T&P Lane. So you could see there they even gave our address, you know, to come visit the House of Yahweh. So even in the persecution, you know, they're putting it out there. And many people know that, well, these accusations are false. How could they be doing all this stuff? Okay, so people see that and they're like, well, let us know some more. So they go look us up. And that's how this persecution helps the gathering. Because it's not also in the paper, but also they had many TV shows and hard copy a lot of other TV shows played this thing about the House of Yahweh. And here you see in the June 2008 prophetic word, here's a bunch of other articles that they showed. But for now, well, yeah, let me read this. From page 14, it has a quote from 10/20/2007. The sermon was Keeping the Sabbath as Yahweh Keeps the Sabbath, number 26. And it says, but anyway, we came out, but before we came out, I talked to, at that time, my family about it. And I said, you know, if we cast lots, we're going to have to do what the lot says, you know. You can't cast lots and then go back to go the other way. And I said, I want you to know we are going to suffer persecution. I knew enough about the scriptures at that time to know that this work that was going to be carried on was going to be the most hated of all nations, all before us. And remember how I showed in my last sermon, I showed how they were comparing us to many other groups like David Koresh, Apple White, all of those people, they compared us to them. It says, so I said, you know, you've got to understand this now. I'm not lying to you. You better understand we are going to suffer persecution and suffer it severely. And there'll be all kinds of lies made up against us because I saw the false witnesses, you know, that were brought against all the prophets before. And they used false witnesses and people who lie. Well, they all agreed, nope, we want to do it. We want to do it, Daddy. Yes, my husband, I want to do it. Well, the persecution, when it started coming, you know, it was severe. All three television stations, they advertised all the day long that the neighbor said the House of Yahweh members were dirty, nasty people. Now this went on all day long with all the television stations, and then they said, we have full details at 6 and 10. Well, they did. So you can see they played these lies, these false accusations, they played them all day long. You know, every news hour they played these lies. And I'd like to show you a video. Could I have the video?
We've uncovered another doomsday cult. Follow our cameras as we go inside the compound where they preach slavery, polygamy, and the destruction of the government. Hear from the leader many fear could be the next David Koresh.
You will shortly see man's governments come to an end and the kingdom of Yahweh take over, and then the end will come.
It's a hard copy special investigation into the sect they're calling the Cult of Disaster.
Though still burning deep in the soul of America, brace yourself, because just miles away, another doomsday cult may be on a collision course with disaster. Tonight, Doug Bruckner takes us inside the bizarre sect some say is a Waco in waiting. It's the exclusive interview, 60 Minutes wanted, but only hard copy could get.
In the next few months, you're going to start seeing all hell break loose on the face of this earth.
It's doomsday again. According to this man, the leader of the House of Yahweh, a cult thriving just miles from Waco, who preaches slavery and kinky sex. They're scared. So are cult watchers.
I think it's scary that this man is out there controlling people. I think that he himself is pretty volatile and could... you know, has the potential of being like a David Koresh.
This is the gray-haired prophet who's scaring everyone. He's Israel Hawkins, formerly Buffalo Bill Hawkins, ex-rockabilly singer, ex-cop, ex-gas station attendant, now pastor and potentate of the embattled kingdom of Yahweh. Israel now runs his low-budget kingdom outside Abilene, Texas. He says he's the key to salvation.
Yahweh named me himself.
Maybe so, but the keys to his kingdom are elusive. Members are expected to give the house one-third of their income, even food stamps, which may be illegal. The prophet advocates polygamy, perhaps even marrying as many as 50 women himself. But what about the most explosive charge, that Hawkins is the next David Koresh? Is this a Waco in waiting? His answer sounds scrambled.
He did not preach the 613 laws of Yahweh. David Koresh preached keeping the feast days, and for this he was persecuted.
But his detractors remain steadfast in their fears.
Any way you look at it, it's a danger to the community because these people are living by their own laws and their own rules.
And don't think this cult is isolated. Israel Hawkins reportedly has followers in all 50 states.
That's on Friday's story, The Cult of Disaster. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I'm calling concerning the House of Yahweh, the show about that, and I was just calling to let everyone know that is true, and my family members are involved in that, and I was a baptized member, and I got out. So just so everyone knows, what Hard Copy says about the House of Yahweh is very true. Thank you.
If we endure, we will be in Yahweh Shema. All right? Praise Yahweh. Now, that video, that's from the prophecy film named Pastor's Psalm. And yes, you can order it. Now, these things on TV or on television, You know, they help the gathering because people know it's not true and they want to learn more. And then, as you notice, you know, they gave our address, they gave our phone number, so you can always contact us. Now, turn to Philippians. Philippians 1. It's on page 921. Verse 12, it says, "But I want you to understand, brothers, that the things that have befallen me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the message. As a result, the whole palace guard and all the others here know that I am in prison because I am a servant of Messiah. And most of the brothers, being confident through my chains in Messiah, are much more bold to speak without fear the word of Yahweh, the law, and the prophets." All right, so it actually furthers the message. Now, that's the main thing. We have to endure, and that's what you saw in the last part of that song. You know, endure. If you turn to Yachanan Mark 13. Verse 12 through 13, it says, "Now the brother will betray the brother to death, and the father the son. Children will rise up against their parents and will cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who will endure until the end, the same will be saved." All right? Yes, we will be saved if we endure until the end. And with that, if everyone will please stand. Let's turn it over to the great Kohen, Yehuda Hawkins.
Please be seated. There's a lot to cover today, and I pray that I'll have the time to do it. If you will, please turn in your Book of Yahweh, or if you're still using a Bible, to Exodus 20, 25, verses 17 through 20 on page 65. The scripture reads, it's on page 65 in the Book of Yahweh, starting with verse 17. "Make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits shall be its width. And make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold. At the 2 ends of the mercy seat you shall make them. Make 1 cherubim on 1 end and the 2nd cherub on the other. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering them, the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another, and each facing down to the cover." What you are looking at, this very ark that they're talking about right now, it is right there. And if you'll notice, and we're going to discuss this because there has been some fine research that has been available finally that shows what this is all about. And it is very fascinating. Well, Exodus 25, 17 and 20 is saying that the house of Yahweh is to make an ark of the covenant, and on the flat top lid of the ark, 2 images of a cherub are to be placed on each end facing each other, supposedly with their wings stretched out toward each other. As I'm sure you know, most Jewish and Christian mythology, the mythology that is in Judaism about this, as well as other Semite religions and also Christianity, is that these 2 cherubim are some kind of half bird, half man. That when they're raising their wings and everything, you're seeing the feathers fly and everything. It makes it look like that they're some kind of half-man, half-bird god. And as you know, that means Babylon and Egypt must have been around, or somebody from those areas, to say, "Now, this is what you really want to make this." Well, that's just some artist's conception of it. Not exactly the truth. But what are these 2 figurines for? What is it all about? There have been many opinions, but the opinions of the Jewish and Christian mythologists is the prevailing one. Now you look at this, you'll see that Pastor had shown that these wings are this, the tallit. And they're raising their hands, two cherubim, two beings raising their hands with their tallits toward one another. The truth of the matter about all this is that it's all far different than what we're being told out in the world. That's what we got out of the world, I would think. I had a long talk with Pastor about this because there is a book that we got. We have it. It's a Hebrew dictionary by a very well-known scholar in the 1800s. In fact, he was a mentor of Strong, the guy who wrote the Concordance. And many of Strong's definitions come from this gentleman. His name is William L. Roy. He taught at Harvard Divinity School, Yale, and some of the other back east. But one of the things about his dictionary that he showed was that there is nothing about these things that lines up at all. But the point of the matter I'm trying to make is Yahweh does show what it really is. And we're going to find out today. What you're going to find out, and I'm glad to be able to tell you, and the scripture bears it out, and we're fixing to hit the scriptures on it, not hit it hard, I mean go through them. And that is that these two cherubim here, not cherubim, cherubim, as Hebrew starts with the letter K or Kaf in that word, they actually indicate two very important eras of the house of Yahweh. Can anyone give me an idea as to which eras they represent? How many think it's 6 and 7? How many think it's 1 and 7? The 1 and 7s have it. Why is 1 and 7 so important? That's another one, but the big point of the matter is they both were righteous eras. And that's what it's all about. Now, the first era of the house of Yahweh was discussed by the Apostle Yochanan in Revelation as being righteous, as did the seventh era be talked about. Now, turn to page 972. Let's look at Revelation 2, verse 8, 11. This is the one called Smyrna. And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and was restored to life. I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know how you are slandered by those who say they reverence Yahweh, but do not, but are of the house of Satan, or synagogue. Fear none of those things which you will suffer. Behold, the adversary will cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the word of Yahweh says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. The second death? The second death. Remember, you were told not to worry about dying where your heart stops. Be worried about being burnt and destroyed, never to exist again. That's the second death. The first era of the house of Yahweh spans from the days of Abel, the first righteous priest of Yahweh, Genesis chapter 4, to the death of the apostle named Yochanan, who died and was murdered on the Isle of Patmos at approximately 100 years, around AY 100. The name Smyrna that has been given to the first era by the Greek and English translators of Revelation 2:8 is translated from the Hebrew word mar. The Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, Volume 1, page 834, and a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 205 and 384, show this word means able. So Revelation 2:8, verse 11, as it was written in the original Hebrew, said the first heir of the house of Yahweh was named Abel, because you ask there and everything is established. The word Yadayim, King James Version says Jews, that is written in Revelation 2, verse 9, is translated from the Hebrew root word Yada. This word is listed on pages 540 and 541 and pages 548 and 549 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to express Yahweh, to admit Yahweh, to confess Yahweh, to acknowledge Yahweh, to give thanks to Yahweh, to praise Yahweh, to celebrate Yahweh, to glorify Yahweh, to proclaim Yahweh's name. The words has an ear that are written in the clause, he who has an ear, that is written in Revelation 2, verse 11, along with a considerable number of other scriptures by the Apostle Yochanan, are translated from the Hebrew word shamoa. This word is listed on page 1411 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to hear a call, to answer, to obey. Sound familiar? The words let him hear that are in the clause let him hear that is written in Revelation 2:11, along with a considerable number of other scriptures by the Apostle Yochanan, are translated from the Hebrew word shamo. This word is listed on page 1411 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to get knowledge of. The words what the Spirit that are written in Revelation 2:11, along with a considerable number of other scriptures by the Apostle Yochanan, is translated from the Hebrew word ruach. This word is listed on page 1287 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means the word of Yahweh. The word says that is written in Revelation 2, verse 11, along with a considerable number of other scriptures by Apostle Yochanan, is translated from the Hebrew word amar. This word is listed on page 117 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means a discourse or teaching. So this is what Revelation 2, verse 8:11 originally said. And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh at Abel, write, these things, says the first and the last, who was dead and was restored to life. I know your works in tribulation and poverty, that you are rich, and know how you are slandered by those who say they reverence and worship Yahweh, but do not, and are of the synagogue or house of Satan. Fear none of these things which you will suffer. Behold, the adversary will cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give until death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who hears Yahweh's call and obeys it, let him learn the word of Yahweh that is taught to the called out ones at the house of Yahweh. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. If a man dies, he will live again, according to the prophet Yob or Yashub. Now that's the first era. And who was the most prominent member of the first era of the house of Yahweh? Try again. Somebody say Messiah? Yeshua. And where's his name on this pulpit? Right behind these two here. They remember these two cherubim, two images here. One of them says Yeshua, one says, well, we'll talk about him later. The point is Yeshua. Yeshua is one of the best ways to remember the first era of the house of Yahweh. They went all the way from Abel to the Apostle Yochanan when he died. Now, let's look at the seventh era. Turn to Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13 on page 973. Remember Yahshua? Somebody else? I'm not hiding anything. I'm just trying to make it interesting. And to the meek, and to Malach, he better be meek, of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy and he who is true, he who has the key of David, He's a descendant of David. And he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. It seems like no matter what problem we have, Yahweh always finds a way to take care of it. Actually, he doesn't find a way. He already knows. He just tells us. I know your works, and behold, I set before you these open doors and shut doors that no man can shut or open. For you have a little strength, because with Yahweh anything is possible, and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I give out of those of the assemblies of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not, but they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father, and he will never go out of it. If it's forever, we don't want it anyway. And I will write upon him the name of my Father. You know, people used to say, "Yo, you're one of those Yahwehs, ain't you?" And I said, "You better believe it." Because in their eyes, calling us, you know, Yahwehs was bigoted insult that we would react to and get angry over. I guess they thought that they would get us into a fist fight and make us show how tough they are. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father. He will never go out of it, and I will write upon him the name of my Father and the name of the Yahweh Shema, which comes out of heaven from my Father, newly named. He who has an ear, let him hear what the word of Yahweh says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. The seventh heir of the house of Yahweh is called Philadelphia. That's a Greek word too. And it began approximately 1934 AY. That's when the witness Israel was born. Now we talk about the other guy. The other guy up here. The other brother. The other righteous servant. Israel. But this man, Israel, he would be one who would realize that our Creator does have a name and not a title like Lord or God, and that our Creator's name is actually too holy not to pronounce. You take away from the name, and that's against the law if you don't pronounce it. Unlike what the leaders of the all monotheistic religions try to say. This witness Israel finished establishing the house of Yahweh by around the year 1981 or so AY, might be a year or two more past, when the courts and the federal government of the United States finalized establishing the house of Yahweh as a valid nonprofit religious organization that had sole rights to the name House of Yahweh. I'm sure you all remember the lawsuits that went on. The word Moloch, that is written in Revelation 3 verse 7, is translated from the Hebrew word Moloch, of course. This word is listed on page 585 of volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament by Coehler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means priests. The word in that is written in Revelation 3:7 is translated from the Hebrew preposition la. This word is listed on page 399 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means at. The name Philadelphia that is written in Revelation 3:7 is the Greek and English translation of the Hebrew word ach. This word is listed as word number 251 in the Hebrew Dictionary of the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, which shows this word means, and as she again bore his brother Abel. In other words, it means Abel. The word that is written in Revelation 3:10 is translated from the Hebrew word dabar. This word is listed on page 183 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means the laws of Yahweh, the words of the prophets. The word patience that is written in Revelation 3:10 is translated from the Hebrew word mikveh. This word is listed on page 820 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary, Marcus Jastrow, which means this word means the ritual bath of purification, means of purification or baptism. The word keep, that is written in Revelation 3:10, is translated from the Hebrew word shamar. This word is listed on page 1412 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to protect. The word hour, that is written in Revelation 3:10, is translated from the Hebrew word ot. This word is listed on page 773 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means time. The word temptation, that is written in Revelation 3:10, is translated from the Hebrew word onin. This word is listed on page 1093 of volume 2 of the Hebrew American Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means sentence of death, carrying out of the sentence of death, oppression, affliction, wrong, suffer, violate, outrage, or even rape. The words have an ear, has an ear, that are in the clause, he who has an ear, that is written in Revelation 3:13, as we said before, is translated from the Hebrew word shamoa. This word is listed on page 1411 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means to hear a call, to answer, to obey. The words let him hear, that are in the clause, let him hear, that is written in Revelation 3:13, along with others that we talked about, is translated from Hebrew word, shamo. This word is listed on page 1411 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means to get knowledge of. The words what the Spirit, that are written in Revelation 3:13, are translated from the Hebrew word ruach. This word is listed on page 1287 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means word of Yahweh. The word says, that is written in Revelation 3:13, along with a considerable number of other scriptures by the Apostle Yochanan, is translated from the Hebrew word amar. This word is listed on page 117 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means discourse or teaching. So this is what Revelation 3:7-13 is saying. And to the priests of the congregation of the house of Yahweh at Abel, what used to be called Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and no man open and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I give out of those of the assemblage of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not, but they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I loved you. Because you have kept my laws and the words of my prophets, which purify you, I will protect you from the time of the sentence of death. Or as Isaiah 43 said, your covenant with death has been annulled. The carrying out of the sentence of death, oppression, affliction, wrong, suffering, violence, outrage, and rape, which will come over all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father, and he will never go out of it. And I will write upon him the name of my Father and the name of Yahweh Shammah that comes down out of from heaven, and my Father newly named. He who hears Yahweh's call and obeys it, let him learn the word of Yahweh that is taught to the called out ones at the house of Yahweh. This is what these two cherubim are showing you. One is a cherubim, a cherub, that is pointing out the first era of the house of Yahweh, of whom was the most known member, Yahshua. And Yahshua is over here on one side over this here. The second one is the seventh era of the house of Yahweh, of whom the best known person is who? All right. That saved me 2 pages of explanation right there. This is what the two cherubim place on the Ark of the Covenant are for. They are for Yahweh's priests and anyone who is permitted to look upon them and remember the trials, sufferings, and death of those of the first era of the house of Yahweh at Abel, and the seventh era of the house of Yahweh that would come in these last days, established again by a man named Israel at a place called Abel, where it would be protected. And thus, one cherub points to the first heir of the house of Yahweh, and the other cherub points to the seventh heir of the house of Yahweh. This is why there had to be two cherubim placed on the Ark of the Covenant, because you had two houses of Yahweh heirs to represent, one for each one. This is why these had to be done. This is why the names Yahshua and Israel are on the front of this pulpit. The name Yahshua represents the first heir of the house of Yahweh, and the name Israel represents the seventh heir of the house of Yahweh. Now, someone would say, but how could Moses have known about known all of these things? Because, unlike some people, he studied a lot. But the question has been brought, did the people of the first heir of the house of Yahweh, like Moshe, Yahshua the son of Nun, Caleb, Shaul the apostle, Yada the apostle, did they know about the witnesses or who was to come? Did they know that the two cherubim placed on the Ark of the Covenant pointed to their heir of the house of Yahweh and the heir of the house of Yahweh that was to come, the ones done by Israel? The answer to that question has to be yes, and this is why. Turn to Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 through 10. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 through 10. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 through 10. That which has already been will be yet again. That which has already been done is what will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, look, this is new? It has already been in ancient times well before us. What Solomon is saying, this is nothing new. This is not a new revelation here. This is a restoration of an old one. Moshe and all of them knew about the witness Israel. They knew about the seventh era that was to come. They knew that the cherub that represents the first era, that was them. But they also knew that the other one was the seventh era led by a man named Israel that was yet to come. In our case, we see the first era was what all of our forefathers went through. And the yet to come now is coming to pass. The seventh era is an operation led by Pastor Israel Hawkins. And that's what it's all about. And that's why all these scriptures you see in Isaiah, Daniel, Zechariah, and Revelation, there's nothing new of it. There's not that, there is no New Testament. There's just one. I mean, Moshe knew one of these cherubim was pointing to the seventh era that was yet to come. He knew the other one was his era, the first era. We get to see both. But there is so much more about this. The words cherub and cherubim that are written in Exodus 26, 25, verses 17 through 20 are translated from the Hebrew word karab, or as plural form, karabim. These words are listed on page 369 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy, which shows this word means a lot of things, and it covers a lot of really wonderful things about both eras of the house of Yahweh, what they stood for, attributes, characteristics, you name it, all within the righteousness that was of these two eras. And Dr. Roy does something better. He not only says these words mean this, he quotes certain scriptures that prove it and points them out. One of the first things he points out that these two cherubim actually mean or stand for is saying to earnestly contend for the faith. That's the book of Yada, verse 3 on page 970. Page 970 in your book of Yahweh. Yada, verse 3. There's no chapter 1. It's just a few statements. Yada, verse 3 on page 970. Just a couple of pages back from Revelation. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you about the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. How much more do you need to know? Once for all. Moshe, once for all, knew he was the first era. Moshe knew once for all that Israel and the seventh era are yet to come. And he rejoiced. As we all know, many prophets, Yeshua Messiah, and many apostles lost their lives contending for this faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 40 on page 951. Page 951. Starting with verse 35. Behold, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. From what? Were they going to dig them up and bring them back to life again so they can dodge the bombs or something? And others had trial of cruel mockings. How many of you have been ridiculed before? You know all about that. And everything. And scourgings. Some of us have been beat up. And yes, chains and imprisonment. Pastor knows all about that. They were stoned. They were sawed in two, were tested, and were slain with the sword. The Apostle Saul was beheaded. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, cruelly treated, of whom the world was not worthy. Since when is a corrupt world ever worthy of a man who wants to do the right thing? They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, have not received the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. Which is another attribute we must have. As a seventh era, we must live this life the way it's supposed to be. Because we're holding up the show if we don't. But Yahweh promises in Psalm 91 verse 10 about persecutions and things that the murders committed on people like Yeshua Messiah, the prophets and the apostles will not come near anyone who, under the guidance of the witness Israel and the seventh era of the house of Yahweh, contends for this same faith in these last days. Dr. Roy says that these Cherubim mean to intercede, supplicate for sinners. Turn to Isaiah 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12 on page 564. Isaiah 53, verse 12 on page 564. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors, saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Pastor did the same thing. When those people who arrested him were arranging to get him on an Al Capone-style gangland one-way ride, he didn't fight back. He just prayed that Yahweh would forgive them. Another meaning of the word. To defend as truth. Yochanan 8 verse 32 and page 824. I'm going to just read it real quick. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yeshua Messiah said we would know the truth that would set us free. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says there will be a house of Yahweh established in these last days at a place named Abel, according to Revelation by him and Isaiah and several other prophets, a man named Israel, and it would truly be the pillar and ground of the truth. Another meaning, to become great. How do you become great? Matitya chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 tells you. Page 731. Matthew 5:17-19. You should know it by heart as many times as I've gotten up here and raved about it, if that's what you think I'm doing. Do not even think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to establish them. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth passes away, one yod, the tiniest of the letters, will in no way pass from the law until all things are perfected, or all of you are perfected. Whosoever therefore will break one of the least of these commandments and will teach men to do so, he will be called least in the kingdom of Yahweh. And what's the least number? Which is equivalent to nothing. But whosoever will do and teach them, it says, the same will be called great in the kingdom of Yahweh. Those who will become great in the kingdom of Yahweh are those who keep all his laws, not just the ones they're in the mood to keep. Another meaning of these words that Dr. Roy shows: to multiply, become fruitful, prosperous. Turn to Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1 on page 6. Easy to get to, just go all the way to the front and move about 6 pages over. On a Bible, I'm not sure. So Yahweh blessed Noah and his son and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. All those things Dr. Roy pointed out this word means in his Hebrew dictionary. But then he goes even further. Dr. Roy shows the Hebrew word carob and its plural form carabim, karab or karabim, means these things as well, which are righteous attributes who everybody in the first era and the last era, the seventh era, have to have. Because they are a model of Yahweh. They are men, yet they strive to be like Yahweh. That is Matthew 5:48 on page 732, which says, therefore become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. They are his word, to be heard and read by all men. Turn to Matthew 5:16. That would be 731. Let your light so shine before men, so they may see your righteous works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They have hands. Remember? The two hands, two sets of hands, I mean, they have hands or wings. That is lifted in prayer and is spread over the altar of the mercy seat. Turn to 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, if you have an older one, a book of Yahweh or a Bible. Page 934 in the book of Yahweh. All of these things, this is what these cherubim are telling you. That's what it's all about. Therefore, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, page 934. Therefore, I will that men everywhere are to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or doubting. Wings. Now, this part of the lead here, it has a great little statement for both the men and sisters, your husbands and your dads, because Dr. Roy says these wings as a faith and love. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13 on page 896. Page 896. We're almost done. Page 896. 1 Corinthians 13:13. 13 is a great number. Maybe one of these days we can have 1 Corinthians 13:13:13 or something. But now these things endure: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. All right. They mean feet or zeal to run as swift messengers of Yahweh. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 32 on page 483. Psalm 119, verse 32, page 483. We will run, being more zealously obedient of the way of your laws. For you will enlarge our hearts, broadening our understanding. You trust in Yahweh and prove yourself. He starts trusting in you in the sense that he knows that you're doing the right thing and he will acknowledge it. Their voice is as the voice of Father Yahweh. He speaks through them. And one of the best examples, there's a whole bunch of scriptures he could have quoted, but I thought the best one was Exodus 4:15 on page 47. This is Yahweh talking to Moshe and of course about his brother Aaron. Exodus 4, verse 15, page 47. Now you will speak to him and put my laws in his mouth, and I will be with you, your mouth, and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you will do. And is that not exactly what Yahweh told Pastor? Get those books out and learn something, and then you'll know what I want you to tell someone else. They follow the direction of Yahweh's word in all things. Turn to Genesis 22, verse 18 on page 16. 22:18 on page 16. We're almost closing out. Genesis 22:18 on page 16. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. If you obey Yahweh's voice diligently, there will come a time that the world will know you are a blessing and they won't think you're a stupid plague. So as can be seen, these cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant are not there just to be worshipped as gods. They're not gods. They're not half bird, half men. They are there to remind you, all who see this ark, that your forefathers suffered greatly to serve Yahweh as members of the first era of the house of Yahweh at Abel. And that in the last days, those who serve Yahweh as members of the house of Yahweh at Abel in these last days, they will see him making sure that nothing like this ever comes near you. So in conclusion, let us hear the conclusion of the matter with one slack corollary. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's confession of his many, many mistakes, where it said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Reverence Yahweh, for that is the duty of all men. Now, for one of our last scriptures, turn to Psalm 100, verse 4. 100, verse 4. When you see these cherubim, and now that you know what all they stand for, what they actually represent, and who, then you should be doing this. Page 473. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How many times have you looked at that Ark of the Covenant and said, praise Yahweh, I thank you for letting me be here. Enter into his courts with praise. You walk by this thing, what's wrong with saying praise Yahweh? Be thankful to him and bless his name. Okay, for our last scripture, turn to Psalm 122, verse 1 on page 487. Look at that Ark of the Covenant and observe those two cherubim. Now that you know what they stand for, you should be saying this to yourselves as well as each other. Now, in the Psalm 122, verse 1, I'm going to read it the way it's written in the King James Version, the Douay Version, or the Geneva Bible. Because when you're praying to Yahweh, you're going to say, I, singular. If you've got 10 or 15 of you, you do it like you would in the book of Yahweh. I'm not trying to change it. It'll stay like it is there. But I want it to be a personal thing as well as a unified brother and sister thing. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of Yahweh. Every time you see these, be thankful and say, we were glad when they said to us, let us go to the house of Yahweh. I was glad, Father Yahweh, when you said, let's go to your house. And with that, let me clear out of here. An army lives on his stomach, but this house lives on paperwork. Please stand, everyone. At this time, it is my privilege to introduce to you one of the greatest servants in the world, the great Kohen David Harmon Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. The peace of our Heavenly Father Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's truly an honor and a privilege to speak to Yahweh's called out ones. You may be seated. I'd like to continue where the great Kohen Yehuda left off, and Yahweh is so awesome in the unity that he brings in his house. And so I'd like to introduce the title of my sermon today. It's Obedience to Yahweh, Yeshua, and Yisrael Hawkins begins here at the house of Yahweh. And I'd like to begin here in 1 Kings 7, verse 13. Now, you can follow along in your books of Yahweh. Most of the information I have on slides here today to possibly make it a little easier for you. You can write the numbers down, know the scriptures, so you can go back and study your notes. In 1 Kings 7, verse 13, now King Solomon sent to Tyre, and he brought Hiram, who was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. His father was a bronze craftsman from the city of Tyre. He was highly skilled and experienced in all kinds of bronze work. He came to King Solomon, and notice how he served King Solomon, just as we serve Yahweh's Last Days Witness today. And it says, and he did all the work that was assigned to him. He did every job that was assigned to him by Solomon. He cast two pillars of bronze, each 18 cubits, about 27 feet high, and 12 cubits, about 18 feet around, measured by line, so about 6 feet in diameter. Then he set up the pillars on the porch of the house of Yahweh. Now, I'd like you to take note of what he named, what these pillars were named, under inspiration of Yahweh and Yahweh's Spirit Holy. He set up one pillar on the south side and called its name Yakin, which means he will establish. Now, I added these next two words. You're not going to find them in the book of Yahweh. But he will establish his house. He will establish his house. The elders of Israel in King Solomon time, they were not walking truthfully after Yahweh and his ways at that time. But so this is a prophecy of the establishment of the house of Yahweh. Yakin, he will establish his house. And he set up the other pillar on the north side and called its name Boaz. In him, Yahweh is strength. Yahweh is our strength. Yahweh is our strength. Yahweh will establish his house, and Yahweh is our strength. That's what these two pillars meant. Now, I'd like to go to the seven-lamp lampstand here in Exodus 25, verse 31. Make a lampstand. Moshe was commanded to make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out. Base and shaft, its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side, three on the other side. Now notice verse 37. Then make its seven lamps, and if you see the menorah burning brightly here in the house of Yahweh, seven lamps. And set them up on it so they light the space in front of it. A talent, that is about 75 pounds of gold, is to be used for the lampstand. So you can see one reason the Romans carried off the lampstand to Rome. It was extremely valuable. 75 pounds of gold, pure gold. And see that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Yahweh showed Moshe the pattern of his kingdom. of the heavenly things, of his plan, of his plan. He showed Moshe these things on the mountain. He said, see, you make things all things after this pattern. So this next slide, seven lamp lampstand. Now this is from Revelation, speaking of what Yochanan was shown, and what he saw in Revelation 1 verse 12. And I, Yochanan, turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw a golden seven lamp lampstand. In the midst of the seven lamp lampstand, one like the Son of Man, Yahshua. Kohen Yehuda spoke extensively about this era of the house of Yahweh in his sermon. Clothed with a garment down to his feet, with a girdle of gold about his chest. The hair of his head was white, was like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. When Yahshua sees us, he will look right into our innermost heart, into our innermost who we are, and he's going to know us. He's going to know everything about us. He's going to know how we've overcome, or if we're lacking. He's going to know with his eyes like flames of fire. In his feet glowed like bronze, which had been fired in the furnace, and his voice sounded like many waters. And in his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Yahweh is our strength. Continuing in verse 17 here, and when I, Yochanan, saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am Yahshua, the first and the last. I am he who lives, but was dead. Yes, Yahshua, the first resurrected among many brothers. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And I have the keys of death and Sheol. And this is what Yahweh, the authority that Yahweh will give to those who overcome. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Now notice, this is the secret. This is the secret. This is the secret that what Yahshua revealed to Yochanan about the seven lamp lampstand. The secret of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the golden seven lampstand. The seven stars are the Malachim of the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh. So the seventh Malach, Yisrael Hawkins, he is the last of these stars, seven stars. And notice, and the seven lamp lampstand which you saw are the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh. The seven congregations of the house of Yahweh. Now I'd like to show you this beautiful picture here. The Kohan, two Kohans are set apart during each day of the feast for prayer and fasting. And this is a picture from the room where the Kohans offer prayers on our behalf for, during their 24 hours of fasting. And this is these are the lights that they keep burning on our behalf before Yahweh. So, and notice, it's three lights. The one in the center represents Yahshua. The one on the left here represents one of the two witnesses, Jacob Hawkins, and the one on the right, which corresponds to the western direction here that this lampstand is facing, represents this seventh era of the house of Yahweh, the seventh congregation under our beloved pastor and overseer, Yisrael Hawkins. So, and Kohen Yehuda, he spoke extensively on the first and the seventh eras of the house of Yahweh, when he talked about the ark and the cherubim. So, but these are the three lights that are burning on our behalf, in honor to Yahweh, as we're speaking right now. So, Yahshua established the first house of Yahweh, and in Yochanan 3:13, he Yahshua went up into the mountain and called whom he would. And they came to him, he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, to have authority, to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. Therefore, he laid hands on his apostles, the ones sent, and gave authority to, and I'm just going to read their names here, Simon, Kepha, Jacob, Yochanan, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matithia, Thomas, Jacob, Thaddeus, Simon. In the next slide here, and Yada Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And notice, and they established the only house, the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh was regarded as present. This was a fulfillment of the bronze pillars symbols that were set up. It was a fulfillment of Isaiah 2:2. So they established the first era of the house of Yahweh. And notice the center lamp of the seven lamp lampstand is Smyrna, the first era of the house of Yahweh under the direct authority of the apostles, an era of perfection. Now let's move on to the seventh era of the house of Yahweh. And I will give my two witnesses to perform their prophetic office, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about with darkness. These are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lamps of the seven lampstand, ministering for the Father in the earth. So if I could just back up here successfully. So you see again the center lamp representing Yeshua, the first heir of the house of Yahweh. And on the left, the sixth heir representing Jacob. And the seventh heir representing the house of Yahweh under the witness Yeshua Hawkins. And Pastor has said many times, Jacob never established the sixth era of the house of Yahweh. It was never formally established, but Jacob assisted the overseer, Yeshua Hawkins, in establishing this house of Yahweh, the seventh era of the house of Yahweh. Now, their names are given here in Isaiah 43, but now this is what Yahweh says, who created you, O Jacob Hawkins, and he who formed you, O Yisrael Hawkins, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You're the ones that I have chosen. And this is information the world doesn't accept at this time, but we accept it and we rejoice in it, but someday they will understand also. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servants whom I have chosen. Chosen by Yahweh, named from the foundations of the earth in his plan. So you may know and believe and understand that I, Yahweh, am he before me. And this is what Pastor, in one of his very recent sermons here at the feast, what he said. He said, well, before me, Yahweh, there was no God, no El formed. And nor will there be any after me, Yahweh testifies on his own behalf here. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. There's only one, Yahweh. And his plan, his authority, with Yeshua, our great high priest, and in these last days, this house, this is the work, this is Yahweh's work, right here, we're sitting in it. I have declared and have saved and have shown, and no strange God is among you. Therefore, you, Jacob, and Yisrael are my witnesses, says Yahweh, that I am Yahweh. And here's a picture of the two witnesses. This is from the Prophetic Word magazine, the cover from February 2011. The witness Jacob in the upper right-hand corner there, and prominently in the center of the magazine, Yahweh's Last Days Witness, the Malak over the seventh era of the house of Yahweh, Yeshua Hawkins. So the seventh era of the house of Yahweh established at Abilene in Isaiah 2:2, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations, the United States of America, the chief of the nations, and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And verse 3 here is a description of the great gathering. We have already been gathered, but there's The multitudes are coming, they're being gathered, and many people, the great gathering, will go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We're going to learn the laws, and we're going to be obedient. For the law will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. And some of the key dates that we have to look back to here in the house of Yahweh, 721, 1981, the house of Yahweh granted official charter from the state of Texas, all part of the establishment of the house of Yahweh. And 1221, 1981, dedication of the first permanent sanctuary by the two witnesses, now referred to as the press room in Abilene. And 2/4/1983, the house of Yahweh officially recognized by the Internal Revenue Service of the Chief of the Nations, the United States, the house of Yahweh established in fulfillment of the prophecies. Now, in Exodus 19, Yahweh shows us part of his plan here, and he says, you have seen what I have done to Egypt, and how I carried you on wings of eagles and brought you to myself. Wings of eagles, to me, it means the prayers and leadership of the one sent, Moshe, in this day here, coming, bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, Yisrael Hawkins, in these last days, leading and guiding and teaching this house and bringing the message of peace to all the world. So the prayers and the leadership of the one sent who is guided by Yahweh's Spirit holy. I carried you on wings of eagles and brought you to myself. Now verse 5, now therefore, if you will truly obey. And I'd like to emphasize that in this sermon today, obedience, because here in verse 5 it says, if you will truly obey my voice. Well, who is the voice of Yahweh in these last days? Revelation 10:7, Yisrael Hawkins, the seventh Malach. When the seventh Malach sounds, when overseer Yisrael Hawkins sounds, teaching, guiding, testing us, you know, to see if we're going to be obedient and listen to instruction, overseer Yisrael Hawkins is the voice of Yahweh in these last days. If you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, you know, the agreement we made with Yahweh at baptism, then you shall be a special treasure. You're going to be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel. So our training for Yahweh's kingdom. Our training for Yahweh's kingdom. Exodus 20, verse 20. Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you. He's come to test and prove us. He wants to see what's in our hearts. He's come to test and prove us. So, for the reason that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. So we follow instructions, obedience to the law, obedience to the instructions we receive here at the house of Yahweh, whether it be from our supervisor, you know, those in authority. And to some extent, you know, I've summarized this Exodus 20:20. This is speaking of the day-to-day grind. It's speaking of the day-to-day grind. This is the trials and tests that we go through. Call it the day-to-day grind. Use that terminology. And here in Matthew 24, for just as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying while giving in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark. It's the same way today. The world is oblivious to the fact that the earth is near destruction at this time. Their high towers are about to fall under their own hand. And verse 39, and did not know until the flood came that swept them away. Then they realized. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man, Yeshua. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. So these women, who are these women? Well, one example would be the two witnesses. And the word women here, just looking at Revelation 12, verse 14, and to the woman, speaking of the house of Yahweh, this era, were given two wings of a great eagle, Yisrael Hawkins, that she might fly into the wilderness, right here on the 44, this mountain, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent, for our protection. So going back to this verse 41 here, Matthew 24, two women will be grinding. Yisrael Hawkins and his brother Jacob were grinding. They were working. They were promoting the work of Yahweh, the message of the kingdom, together up until 1990, or 1991 actually, 3/22/1991, when Jacob Hawkins fell asleep. He died a physical death. And so then Yahweh's last witness, Yisrael Hawkins, had to what? Had to do the grinding by himself. One was taken and the other one left. So Yahweh's last day's witness has continued the work of Yahweh since that very time. Therefore, watch, for you do not know what hour your ruler will come. Okay, and Luke 17 gives another example, the same situation. As it was in the days of Noah, so will be also be the days of the Son of Man. I tell you, in that night, two will be in one bed. This is speaking of a husband and his wife, a man and his wife, in one bed. They're in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. I have observed over some situations in the house of Yahweh where a husband and wife are members of the house of Yahweh. They're grinding together. They're doing the work of Yahweh together. And one falls asleep. And so the remaining spouse needs to continue grinding by themselves, alone. Or two will be grinding, one will be taken, the other left. It can be that the other situation that can be is if one of the spouses no longer believes, has given up the faith. That's another situation. So what is the other one to do? They have to continue grinding by themselves. So either way, so Yeshua said, this is the way it's going to be. You all need to be grinding, overcoming, working, enduring. One may be taken, and one will be left. But you have to continue grinding. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Then they answered and asked him, "Where, teacher, where is this going to be?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, where the body of Messiah is, where the house of Yahweh is established, where the teacher is, the seventh Malach, there will the eagles, you people, you are the eagles that's spoken of here, you're going to be gathered here. You're going to be gathered around the seventh Malach." And it also applies to those who are being called who were not able to be here at the feast. This divisions in the life of the prophet Moshe, I bring this out because it shows one of the patterns that Yahweh has given us, and it applies to Yahweh's last day's witness. So I'd like to show you that from birth to the age of 40, Moshe was trained in the house of Pharaoh as a prince of Egypt. From the age of 40 to 80, he fled into the wilderness to the house of Yahweh, trained at the house of Yahweh, studying under the priest Jethro. Age 80 to 120, leading the 12 tribes of Israel out of Egypt. In Hebrews 3 verse 5, spoke of him. Now Moshe truly was faithful as a manager in all the house of Yahweh, just as Israel Hawkins is faithful as a manager in all the house of Yahweh. as a testimony to those things which were to be spoken after. We can talk about them now, and we can look and see the awesome plan fulfilling things that he did. The prophet Moshe's life was divided into three divisions of 40 years for a total of 120 years. Now we see the division is in the life of Yahweh's last days witness, Yisroel Hawkins. Birth to age 28, and 28 was one of the lot numbers. 28 was one of Pastor's lot numbers. Birth to age 28, 28 years, 1934 to 1962. Raised in the ends of the earth in the wilderness of Oklahoma to love Yahweh's holy scriptures. And then from the age 28 to 56, 28 years, 1962 to 1990. Now notice, 1990, that's when the witness Jacob stopped grinding. He fell asleep. The two witnesses begin opposing Babylon, the two witnesses working together to establish the house of Yahweh from 1962 to 1990. And then this last 28 years, from the age of 56 to 84, now Pastor is going to be 83 this year. So you see how close the kingdom is? It's right at the door. 28 years, 1990 to 2018, the house of Yahweh escaped to the wilderness. The cleansing of the house of Yahweh, which was bringing all of us to perfection, trying to bring us all to perfection. The cleansing of the house of Yahweh and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations. The kingdom of Yahweh established the great gathering. So the witness, Yisroel Hawkins' life, divided into three divisions of 28 years for a total of 84 years. Now, with respect to that, Yeshua spoke a parable from the fig tree in Matthew 24:32. He said, "Now learn a parable from the fig tree when its branch." Yisroel Hawkins is the branch, right? He's the branch. When he becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. You know, Pastor told me when I asked him about this, he said, "I've always been tender." I think he's becoming more tender. Free food this feast, right? That's part of Yahweh's love for us. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming and the end of the age is very near. It's at the very door. Truly, I say to you, so as he's saying to this generation, which began in 1934, he's saying that generation will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. Now this next slide here gets into some of the instructions that I'd like to talk about. And I'll just read this from Jeremiah 35:14. The words stand alone, because these are instructions that we've been given also. We've been given these same instructions by Yisroel Hawkins. It says, Jeremiah is saying, the instructions that Yonadab, son of Rechab, gave to his sons never to drink wine are performed to this day. They drink none and are obedient. Notice, instructions obedient to their father's command. Make the connection. We need to make that connection in our mind. Instructions obedient to their father's command. Yahweh said in Exodus 20:20 that we will be tried and tested. Revelation 11, verse 10, tells us the same thing. In fact, it tells us who will be here to try and test us. Revelation 11, verse 10, and it's in the King James Version, because it's talking about the two witnesses, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, he's talking about the witnesses, and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets or witnesses tormented. It says they tormented. Now, isn't that just like the adversary to throw a word in there like torment? We're tormented, or the people of the earth are tormented. No, it doesn't mean that. It does not mean tormented. It means tested and trials. That's what it means, tests and trials, and I'll show you that. So these two prophets tested and tried the whole world. And them that dwelt on the earth were tested, The world is tested by the words of Yahweh's last days witness, Yisro Hawkins. So Revelation 11, verse 10, these two prophets tormented. Greek word 929. Of course, the first one, 928, it uses the word torture, which is a newer form of the word tormented. The old English didn't have it in that context of torture. It had it in the context of texts, of tests and trials. The middle word there, definition 931, if you look at the bottom of that definition, that says a touchstone. And I'd like to give you more information on the word touchstone, what it actually meant, touchstone. Because the original word definition of torment or tormented used that word, a touchstone. And 939 there, it talks about maintaining a pace, our walk with Yahweh. And it's talking about running the race with endurance. That's what it means to me. We've got to run this race with endurance. So the word touchstone here, it means a stone used to identify precious metals. We're being tried and tested like pure gold, so we're going to be tested. The word touchstone, something that is used to make judgments about the quality of other things. You know, Yahweh's called out ones. We are the precious ones in His sight. So we're the ones that are being tested. Full definition of touchstone: it's a black siliceous stone related to flint and formerly used to test the purity of gold and silver by the streak left on the stone when the gold or silver is rubbed onto the touchstone. And definition two, it's a test or criterion for determining the quality and genuineness of something. Synonyms: benchmark, criterion, gold standard. So touchstone here in Bollinger, it says tormented, to rub with the touchstone, to put to the test. And that's the key right there. It's not torture, it's testing. It's what we go through. It's the day-to-day grind. Put to the test, to prove, to examine closely, to cross-question. And the noun here, touchstone, it's an ancient method of trying metals on which, when gold is rubbed, it leaves a particular mark. Hence, examination, trial, inquiry. That's what Yahweh wants. That's what Yahweh allows the witness to do to those who are being perfected by the word of Yahweh. Now, this next account here from 1 Kings chapter 13, I'd like to read these scriptures, but I'd probably read them rather quickly, but they make some excellent points with respect to instructions and obedience. Behold, a man of Yahweh, a prophet of Yahweh, came from Yada by the word of Yahweh to Bethel. And Jeroboam, the king who had broken away from the kingdom of Yada in the south, was standing by the altar to make an offering. The prophet of Yahweh cried out against the altar. This was his job, what he was sent to do, by the word of Yahweh. And he said, "Altar, altar, this is what Yahweh says. Behold, a son," and this was a prophecy that he was giving the king, "a son shall be born to the house of David," Yada in the south, Jerusalem was the capital. "Yoshiah, his name, will be by name, and upon you, the altar, he will sacrifice the priests of the high places." And that's what Jeroboam was doing. He was being a priest of the high place, and what he was doing, he was also the king, "who burned incense to you, and men's bones shall be burned on you, altar." And he gave the sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign Yahweh has given. The altar will split apart, and the ashes will be poured out." When Jeroboam, the king, heard the words of the man of Yahweh, cried out against the altar in Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" What do kings do? They arrest people who don't agree with them. Arrest him! Put him in jail for 10 days. Set a $10 million bond on his head. Seize him! Seize him! Then the king's hand, which was stretched out toward the man, withered, and he was unable to pull it back. So now he's a cripple. He couldn't pull his hand back. Also, the altar split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign given by the man of Yahweh. And the king answered, now he's got a little more humble attitude, notice. And the king answered and said to the man of Yahweh, intercede on my behalf to Yahweh your father, not his father, Yahweh, the prophet's father. Pray to him, pray for me so my hand may be restored to me. So the man of Yahweh made this request to Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him just as it had been before. Then the king said to the man of Yahweh, now this is test number one. Test number one for the man of Yahweh. Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a gift. But the man of Yahweh said to the king, if you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Because this was commanded me by the word of Yahweh. These were the instructions he received. You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he left. So the prophet, the man of Yahweh, after he had given the king the message he was sent to give, he left another way and did not return the way he came to Bethel. But this isn't the end of the story. Now an old prophet. I believe this is a prophet who was living in Samaria, or living in the northern kingdom under Jeroboam. He was no longer a man of Yahweh. He was Scripture refers to him as an old prophet, for whatever reason. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of Yahweh had done, and the words he had spoken to the king. Their father said to him, which way did he leave? So his son showed him. Then he said, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled a donkey, and he set out upon it. He went after the man of Yahweh and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he says, are you the man of Yahweh? And he said, I am. This is test number two now for the man of Yahweh, testing his instructions and whether or not he would fulfill them. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat. Test number two. But the man of Yahweh said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place, because I have been commanded by the word of Yahweh. I've been given specific instructions. You must not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way I came. But he said to him, I too, this old prophet said, I too am a prophet, as you are. And the Malak spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back to your house so he may eat bread and drink water. But notice, he lied to the prophet of Yahweh. He lied to him. Does it matter? Does it matter that he lied to him? Did that change his instructions? No. No, he was given his instructions. So the man of Yahweh went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And as he sat at the table, the man of Yahweh came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of Yahweh who came from Yahweh and said, this is the word Yahweh says, because you have defied, in other words, disobeyed the word of Yahweh and have disobeyed the command which Yahweh your father gave you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water. Now this is the guy who invited him back, okay? The one who lied to him. He's telling him this. In the place that he told you not to eat bread nor drink water, your corpse will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. That was his reward for disobedience. After he had eaten bread and after he had drank, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. And as he set out, a lion attacked the man of Yahweh on the road and killed him. His corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion also stood by the corpse. So men passed by there and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing on the corpse. They went and reported this to where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his way heard this, he said, notice his words. This is the man of Yahweh who was disobedient to the word of Yahweh. He was disobedient. So Yahweh handed him over to the lion, which has mauled and killed him, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke. So it didn't matter that the man of Yahweh, this old prophet lied to him. No, it didn't matter at all, really. because he had his instructions. Now, I had a little example here recently, or a situation recently that I'd like to tell you about. I tell you this to my shame. Pastor had, there's a water drainage ditch over at the men's cafeteria in the parking lot, and several weeks ago, Pastor said, that open ditch, we should put some culverts in there. Okay, so I started working on that, and about 2 weeks ago, myself and another worker were putting, we laid three culverts in the ditch. And, well, as we were working, Pastor came by and he parked his car, and he greeted me and he said, he gave me some other instructions. We want to make a concrete catch basin where that third culvert is. And he said, he gave me the name of a worker who would do that. And he said, get that third culvert out of there. Okay, so then he walked off and left. But he said, get that third culvert out of there. And, I could have done it. I could have done it myself. These plastic culverts are not that heavy. It was just laying in the ditch. So, but what did I do? Get the culvert out? No. I got on the phone and I called this other worker who he had said he'll do it. And the worker said, okay, we can do that. He said, the other worker said, just leave the culvert in and I'll take it out when we do the job. Okay, what's wrong with this picture? Did I follow? And so what I did, I walked off and that was the end of it, right? No, a half an hour later, Pastor called me and he said, get with this other worker and get with this other worker and tell him what I need. So I walked over to the where the culverts had been installed, and there were three workers looking at the culvert that they had just taken out of the drainage ditch. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew I had not fulfilled the instructions that I had been given. Those words were ringing in my ears: get that culvert out of there. That's what I should have done, not called the other worker. That's an example which I give you to my shame, that I didn't follow instructions. Didn't sleep the whole night until I tried to explain myself the next morning. But that didn't fix anything. It was just an excuse. First Kefa 1, elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Yeshua, love and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be Yahweh the Father of our King, Yeshua Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and which does not fade away, reserved in the heavens, which has kept you by the power of Yahweh through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the time of the end. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you must suffer grief or tests and trials through manifold temptations. Notice in verse 7, we are on trial. We are on trial here in the house of Yahweh, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, material things really are meaningless compared to what Yahweh wants to give us. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, which perishes, though it is tried with fire, might be found worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah. And verse 9 there, receiving the ultimate result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what's really important. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds. Now notice verse 5. I want you to concentrate on verse 5. Demolishing arguments. If I had any arguments in my mind about pulling that culvert out of that ditch, I should have demolished them. Demolishing arguments and destroying every high thing that exalts himself against the one who is Yahweh, Yeshua, Yisrael Hawkins, that's the line of authority. bringing under control every thought. Every thought, bringing under control every thought. Self-control, total self-control into the obedience as Messiah. He gave us a perfect example, did he not? No sin in his life. Bringing under control every thought in the obedience as the Messiah. And being, so we, in verse 6, and we want to be in readiness to punish all disobedience. We want to get into that position someday. Once your obedience is complete, that's a requirement. Our obedience has to be complete before we're going to judge anybody else's disobedience. Once your obedience is complete. Now this 2 Corinthians 10, I have a recommendation. Print yourself a big copy like that and put it over your, nail it to your doorpost. So when you go out of the house in the morning, you are ready to demolish arguments and destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh. Who's Yahweh to us? Yisrael Hawkins. Yeah, Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh to us. Yahweh's not going to speak to us personally. Yisrael Hawkins is the one who is as Yahweh to us, bringing under control every thought. Pin this on your doorpost so in the morning you see this. It gets in your subconscious mind so that it's there. It's there, it's there, it's there every day into the obedience as the Messiah. Then Samuel, verse 15, and this is what Samuel said to King Saul after he disobeyed Yahweh for the second time, flagrantly disobeyed his instructions. Then Samuel said, "Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen." We have to be active listeners. We have to listen, listen, listen. Otherwise, it's meaningless. If we're playing with our phone or whatever, when we're getting instructions, forget it. We're disconnected. We must listen. Because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity and God worship. Because you, King Saul, have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. Second last slide here. I'd just like to look at verse 1. Remember, it says remember your Creator, but remember to be obedient to your Creator in the days of your youth, right now, whether you're old, young, whatever. This is your youth, the time you're being tested and tried, right here in the house of Yahweh. Remember to be obedient to your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you say, I find no pleasure in them. This is our opportunity right now. And for the final scripture here, I'd like to reference Genesis 49:10, which Pastor talked about earlier in the sermon. And he said, "The scepter will not depart from Yahweh, nor the ruling staff, the lawgiver, from between his feet until he, Yeshua, high priest over the house of Yahweh, comes to whom tribute belongs." And notice the obedience of the nations. You know, our obedience precedes. Our obedience is right now. Precedes the obedience of the nations. Is his, belongs to Yeshua. So, the title of the sermon today, Obedience to Yahweh, Yeshua, and Yisrael Hawkins, begins here at the great house of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'd all please stand for closing prayer.